Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So today I have a couple of thoughts for you, a couple of suggestions on boosting what's called your EQ. So this is a relatively new term, emotional intelligence, and it's about being smart or being wise in ways that are different from the more traditional IQ. Now, one of the things we know from all of the more recent neuroscience research is that the kinds of cognition, the kinds of mental activity that we label emotions are an essential part of our thinking. So we imagine ourselves to be rational creatures, but first and foremost, our thinking is emotional. So if you can get more skillful in how you manage your emotions, and if you can get more skillful with what's called your EQ, that is going to help you with everything that you do. So your work, but also, of course, your family, your relationship with yourself, your hopes, your dreams, the whole shebang. So I have two things for you today. One of them is brand new to me. It's a habit-based idea or a research-based idea that I recently found on driving habit change. And then the other is kind of a strategy or an approach that I use to manage a sticky emotional situation that comes up for just about everybody sometimes. So I'm going to start with my research-based hack for making healthy change in your life. So I heard about this from a woman named Dr. Kelly McGonigal. She wrote a book called The Upside of Stress. She has a really popular TED Talk about stress. And she's also a featured speaker in an online course that I'm taking right now about navigating change and about motivating change. So she cited a recent study from the University of Michigan, and I'm working on tracking down a link for you on that study, but it's about personal values and habit change. So I'm going to summarize the study. Just be aware that I'm, you know, summarizing someone who summarized it. So it's going to be broad strokes here, but I think I can give you the gist. So the study was looking at people who are extremely sedentary, and the study started by giving these people some of the, you know, very simple advice about starting to move more. So things that you and I have heard probably many times, you know, find a parking space that's further away, take a flight of stairs once a day, that kind of thing. They put accelerometers on these folks. Those are just kind of fancy pedometers. And they sent a daily text message with a reminder about one of those movement tips. And then they watched and, you know, took note of what happened. So in the control group, they just got the advice and the daily reminders. And then there was a second group who, before they got the advice, were asked to look at a list of common human values and pick one of those values that was important for them, that was an important motivator in their life, and asked to think about it for a minute. And I'll give you a list of those values so you can take a look. It won't be the exact same list that was in the study, but there are things like family, autonomy, faith, justice, stability, learning, love. What matters to you the most when push comes to shove? So this one group of subjects, they chose a word that mattered to them, that was important to them, and then they were asked to think about why for a minute. So the value was just brought into their awareness. That same group also, when they got the daily text message, before they got the daily tip on movement, they got a text message that said, your value was fill in the blank, respect. Take a moment now to think about why that matters to you. So you've got one people who get some advice about, you know, doing something better, and they get daily reminders. You have another group that before they get the advice and before they get the daily reminders, they are just asked to call to mind a value that matters in their lives. So they run the study, they look at the results. And again, of course, I am paraphrasing wildly. The folks who had been asked to think briefly about their values before they got specific advice about making a change had massively significantly better results. Now, here's the part I find really interesting. The study did not connect the dots, and it didn't ask them to connect the dots. So what they did not do was say, think about how taking the stairs before lunch is going to help you with your core value of respect. All they did was just ask people to think for a moment, reflect for a moment about something that mattered to them, an idea, a value that mattered to them. And this all by itself appeared to make people more receptive to both hearing and acting on all of that great advice that's out there on making different kinds of positive change in our lives. So I thought this was a really interesting opportunity for experimentation. Here's what I think I'm going to try out. I'm going to get my index cards. I talked about those in my podcast 2 weeks ago about the creativity system. And I'm going to write a word on a nice card, you know, probably a pretty pink card or a nice bright purple card. I'm still thinking about what my one word is, but, you know, I know it's going to be on some variant of love. So it'll be closeness or family connection, something like that. So here's what I suspect. If you want to try experimenting with this for yourself, I would love it if some of you would give it a try, give it a whirl, and then swing back and let me know what you think, how it worked out for you. Here are some of my assumptions or suspicions. I don't think we need to get incredibly gummed up on finding one perfect word. I'm suspecting that this is going to work with any phrase or word that has significant emotional impact on your life, that matters a lot to you. So rather than trying to find the one single perfect word or the single two-word phrase, I'm just going to try and come up with a good one. I'm not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And then my plan is just to look at it once or twice during the day and try and spend a minute or less than a minute remembering why it matters. So here's another thing I think is probably important. It's probably a good idea to figure out how to get this in front of your face daily, but not all the time. So I don't think this is going to work with a post-it that you see all the time. You stick it to your laptop or your monitor, because you're just going to instantly go blind to that. You're going to instantly stop seeing it and stop caring about it. So instead of a physical index card, maybe I'll set up a calendar reminder in my online calendar. Or, you know, I could tuck that physical card into something that I look at once or twice a day. Maybe it goes into my daily review. Even better, I think, would be a way to send yourself that message once a day at random times. And I'm sure there's some kind of app that does this, but I don't know what it is. So if you have a good suggestion about an app or a program or a browser extension that does something like this, I would love to know about it in the comments. You can always find me at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. That just kind of magically whisks you to the site where you can leave a comment. You can also get show notes, links, resources, all that good stuff. My guess is that predictability is not your friend in this case. So if you always look at it, you know, before lunch, I don't know if that helps or harms, but I have a suspicion that having those messages come to you at somewhat random times during the day might be more effective. So my goal for running the experiment is just to see, you know, how's my energy level to do all that good stuff, the good stuff we all have, the habits, the practices. We know we want to do them, but sometimes, you know, doing the good thing doesn't look as enticing as the distraction does. So I'll let you know if anything really interesting happens, and I hope that you'll let me know if you try this out. I think it's an intriguing study, and I'd be interested to experiment with it a bit. So we started with that. That was something I haven't tried yet. The second thing I want to talk about is something that I have tried, something that I have worked through. It's kind of a mini process for myself. It's also in that realm of emotional intelligence, and it's how we handle our hurt feelings, especially how we handle our hurt feelings now that so many of us live a significant chunk of our lives online, because the online world makes it easier to misstep. So pretty much anybody who's not a sociopath is going to get their feelings hurt sometimes. Not everyone shows it and not everyone admits it to themselves, but everybody gets their feelings hurt sometimes. It's just a normal part of being a social beast. And you may have noticed in your own life, I have certainly noticed in mine, when our feelings get hurt, our IQ drops like 30 points, and our ability to make good judgments will often just go straight into the toilet. So what are the kinds of things that hurt our feelings? Well, it depends on what kind of person you are. Some people don't get their feelings hurt very often. Some people are thin-skinned, like I am, and it happens all the time. So, you know, it could be an offhand remark that somebody makes that just maybe wasn't phrased, super perfectly. And of course, it happens when somebody we care about says something difficult to us. You know, we're not doing something in the right way and they need to call us out on it. Maybe they're right. Maybe we're right. Maybe we're both right. It doesn't really matter, because either way, no matter what the facts of the situation are, the hurt feelings come up. I do happen to be one of those people. Even after as long as I've been online, and it's been a super long time, my feelings get hurt by trolls. You know, some stranger on the internet says something evil to me and I can feel bad. Sometimes it really does hurt my feelings. And it's easy to say, well, that's silly. Or it's easy to say, well, just don't listen to those people. It's stupid. But it doesn't happen to be an option for me, and I'm actually okay with that. And I'm also a person who can come out of, you know, a very constructive conversation, handled very well, handled very professionally, and about some of the conflicts that come up for every normal person. And it'll still generate a certain amount of hurt feelings for me. It's just how I work. It's how my brain works. It's cool. It's my stuff. I own it. And it's probably one of the reasons that meditation practice is so important for me, because I just need, you know, good practice in working with this kind of feelings in a useful way. So the first thing I want to do is give you a permission slip. I want to give you permission to have hurt feelings. You know, if it's how you feel, then it's how you feel. And the worst thing that you can do, you know, and ask me how I know this one, is kicking yourself for how you feel, because it doesn't improve anything. You know, you can get mad at yourself for having hurt feelings. It does absolutely nothing except make everything worse. So if your feelings are hurt, in my experience, it is very important to be willing to say to yourself — you don't have to say it to anybody else if you don't want to — I feel like crap right now. This is painful. This sucks. And I would really like to crawl under the table with a blankie and two packs of Girl Scout cookies and come out, I don't know, sometime in August. We live in such a toughen up culture. We live in such a culture of people telling us you have to toughen up, you have to develop a thicker skin. So that's fine if it works. If it works for you, then that's super great. But I am giving you permission not to develop a thick skin if that's not who you are. Because thin skin actually has advantages. If you're thin-skinned and you develop some good habits of behavior control, then you will be kind. You will be a kind person. You are going to think before you act. You're going to develop some powerful strengths. You're probably going to develop some really powerful empathy. And what I believe is that no matter how bad you feel — and sometimes we all have legitimate reasons for feeling pretty bad — we can always control our reactive behavior. And so that's what I'm going to focus on right now. So I'm going to go through some very quick steps that I find useful when my feelings get hurt. And we want to start off with, you know, what happens to us when our feelings get hurt. Almost everybody — now you really see this in small kids before kids learn, you know, to control their behavior. Almost everybody has an initial desire to hit back when their feelings get hurt, because being in pain makes us angry, and being angry makes us want to, you know, hurt the other person to get our revenge. So somebody calls us an unflattering name or says something mean, and we start to develop elaborate fantasies about dropping a house on them. Okay, maybe that last one is just me, but you get the idea. So the very first habit you want to cultivate, and the most important, in my experience, habit, is when your feelings are hurt, when you feel the flare up, first of all, you know, figure out what it is for your body. Figure out what's happening with your throat, with your chest, with your scalp, wherever it is you feel it when your feelings get hurt. When you notice it, stop, pause, get offline, get off email, don't send any texts, don't call. That first hour is when we tend to get all, you know, unibomber on whoever just hurt us, in my experience. So take yourself out of the danger zone for an hour or two. So what do we do during our pause? Well, the most important thing, I think, is to feel what we're feeling. Now, at this stage, in my opinion, if you want to wallow, I think that's totally fine. So if you need to pout, I think it's fine to pout. If you want to nurse your hurt feeling, if you want to tell yourself angry little stories and, you know, do all the things that are kind of juvenile or embarrassing, I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But here's the key for me. The point of the pause is that pouting is private time. So if you get on Facebook and you let it all hang out there, you know, that's not going to serve you well. Or even better, you do that thing that's called fake booking, where you get on Facebook and you say something like, you know, I just can't believe how evil and cruel and sadistic some people are. And that's just all I'm going to say about it. And you leave. Okay, that's, it's not productive. It freaks out your friends. It freaks out your family. It just doesn't help. So that's why I say, you know, get away from the computer and your smartphone while this is happening. And again, I think it's really interesting if you have any experience with small kids, because they get hurt, right? They fall down and they get a scrape or something and they wail. I mean, you think that they just broke like both arms and both legs, right? From the sound, from the acoustic quality of this expression. And then it's done. And in 2 minutes, they're back to whatever they were doing. You know, if it's a very sensitive kid, maybe it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but real little kids will feel their hurts, emotional hurts and physical hurts, very fully. And they express them very intensely. And then, you know, the hurt kind of loses its power and they go back to what they were doing. And I think there's a clue there. When we try to squish the feelings down, they tend to seep out and they tend to just poison everything. They poison our relationships. They create resentments. They create bad behaviors. They create passive aggression. If you can feel it fully and let it be intense and then stay mindful, it will dissipate and it will leave. In my experience, the best way to deal with a really tough feeling is to sit there with it and let it be what it's going to be. So that's why I'm always banging on about meditation, because meditation is really useful for this. Meditation is very literally practice in watching your thoughts and your feelings come and go. However, I don't necessarily recommend that you get onto your meditation cushion and sit at the wall when you're in this kind of state, because there's other things that I think are more productive. One of the most productive things I've ever found for this kind of time is to go for a walk, because you have a lot of angry brain chemistry happening and it is flooding your system and all those chemicals need something to do. It's our good friend, the fight or flight response. And if you do something physical, you will give all that chemistry a reason for being. If you're a runner, that's probably actually even better. But move your body to just help work through that. It's a neurochemical reaction. It is a physical thing that happens to you. And being physical is very helpful to move to the next place. And just a disclaimer, I would not recommend any kind of exercise where you can get hurt if you are distracted. So because this is very energizing, actually, anger is very energizing. You've probably noticed that when you get angry, you have a lot of physical energy and you might feel like it's time to try for your, you know, triple body weight deadlift or try to swing the 108-pound kettlebell. I really don't recommend it. So do something where you're not going to get hurt if you're a little bit distracted. Walking is, you know, so good for that. So in the interest of time, I have an optional step 1.5. And if you want to know what it is, you can go to pinkhairedmarketer.fm, look for this episode. It's in the transcript. And I'm going to leave it in the transcript, but I'm going to go on to step 2 because, you know, I just want to keep this, I want to respect your time. And it's an optional step. It's going to be really interesting for people who maybe you have a little more interest in Buddhist philosophy or meditation, but it's not going to be universally something people want to try, so I'll skip it for now. I'm going to go to number two, which is writing it down. So if we're just talking about, you know, some chucklehead online who made a rude remark, number one's probably fine. Number one, it works great for a lot of things. Your feelings get hurt. Stop, pause, get away from your devices, and go for a walk. A lot of times you're good. So if you're good, that's cool. Get back into work and go on with your life. If it's not enough, if you're still, you know, still in that hurt space, then I find that journaling it is very helpful. You know, writing down, well, what happened and who said what and why I think it came up. Now, in my experience, right in the moment, you don't come up with like amazing insights. You don't come up with, you know, world-shattering insights about it. But it is a means of expression, and sometimes you just need to make it real by putting it into, you know, into your journal. And sometimes these are valuable to go over later on when you've cooled down, and sometimes you go over them later on and you're like, wow, I was just really not in a very rational space there. Now, if you are the kind of person who journals, I'm going to guess a lot of you are, one of the tips my dad taught me years and years ago, and I adhere to this absolutely strictly, is that your journal is for you. Because it's important to have this space where you can be unfair, unreasonable, embarrassing, mean, petty. You can say all the mean things that you want to say. So this is really an extension of pouting as private time. I really recommend you never, ever show your journal to other people. It is for you. It is the place where you work things through. And then you come to a place where you can create communication for other people. And before you move to step three, I think it's a good idea to make sure you've really given it enough of a pause, you know, given the event enough space and fresh air so that you can start to see it objectively. Pause long enough that you can bring your rational brain on board, that you're not still in that fight or flight space. So, assuming that you have a cerebral cortex again, that's the time you can decide what, if anything, you're going to do about the situation. So this is where we start to look at, well, you know, could we come up with a better way to handle the household chores with my partner? Or could I ask my boss for some specific behavior changes that I could make so I could be better aligned with what she's expecting? You know, or could I talk to my friend and say, wow, you know, I am not good at handling teasing on that topic. So would it be cool with you if you could just never do that again? So you get the idea. This is the time when we come up with a plan for what action you can take, in other words, I can take to make things better as we go forward. You know, we really don't get to control what other people do. The only thing you can truly change is your own behavior. And I'll give you a final thought on that. And this is a bit of a hack, actually, in its way as well, which is another thing that helps to kind of soothe that burn is do something you're really good at. And it's a very good idea to make a list of these. Just, you know, maybe make a list right now. If you're not in an emotional situation right now, maybe in the next 5 minutes, just after you pause this podcast, make a list of things that you're actually really good at. You know, creative things, work-related things, could be not work-related things, whatever it is. Because I think that if you do that, if you say, you know, for me, it might be writing, actually. I might, you know, knock out a piece of writing. It's just a way to send a signal to my brain that maybe I am not the most pathetic loser on the face of the planet, that I don't completely suck. I have a couple of things that I can contribute, and I do have some capabilities. It's demonstrating to myself that, you know, that inner critic, and that inner critic, it tends to sound really very similar for everybody. It's not really about real deficiencies. It's just about, I don't know, there's something funny about the way our brain is wired. So doing something you're really good at, scheduling some time, just spend 20 minutes, set a timer, and do something that you're actually excellent at. Ideally, something that is productive and is, you know, contributes to the world. That can really help you get a new perspective and just feel way less sucky in general. And I am all about feeling less sucky. So those are my two EQ hacks. And I have no idea if it's really fair to call them hacks. I'm probably being kind of clickbaity with that. But they are two techniques for you to just become a little wiser, a little more skillful with your emotional intelligence. Make some good changes, have some awesome relationships, be a happy human being who's doing the things that you want to do with your life. So that's it for today. Always, you know, I love hearing from you guys. You can talk to me on Twitter @SoniaSimone. or you can swing by pinkhair@marketer.fm. Leave me a comment, send me some love, send me some suggestions, send me some questions, send me some thoughts about what you'd like to hear more of. Thank you guys so much for your time and attention, and I'll see you next week. Take care.